Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of March, recording at 8:58 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets, not much going on. European stock markets started weak, but mostly closed with gains. Wall Street started with some pretty good gains and then reversed those. Currently down sufficiently to, well, not a big decline, but a big intraday move, and with the Dow down 40, nearly 8 on the S&P, and over 18 on the NASDAQ Composite as I speak, Wall Street is looking down the barrel of small key day reversals in these indices, but mind you, it's had a pretty good week and a half or so on the upside, but this suggests that the run's been capped here for at least the short term, and that we will see some retracement of recent gains. And what are some of the factors that have contributed to that? Well, I think it was a bout of nerves over interest rates. We haven't had anything new or dramatic along those lines, but these are nervous conditions, as I've said before. And we saw government bond prices weaker in here today, particularly in the U.S., and they're closing, well, they're holding sort of three-quarters of their decline here near the close. So U.S. Treasuries are backing away from initial resistance levels, initial overhead resistance. That's the Treasury prices, of course. U.S. dollar stronger in here, again, on the interest rate sentiment. And precious metals. Now, they were mostly down, but closed well off the lows. And one example, for instance, gold got down to 547.36, but closed at 551.50. That was only down 340. Well, it's still trading after hours, but only down 340. Silver, and I haven't seen any news on this, but my guess is that it would be related to sentiment or speculation regarding a silver ETF. But silver had a huge move. It sold off down to 10.15. That wasn't a spectacular decline, but then it bolted on the upside, got as high as 10.56, and last trading at 10.47 after hours. So it surged up to a new high. And that's oil was down, picked up, closed with a modest gain. And natural gas did the same thing, was down, closed with a modest gain in here. Okay, let's go back to that stock market cycle. More discussion on this in comment of the day, which I have not quite posted yet, but will do so shortly after I complete this audio. More discussion about whether we're going to get that medium-term correction or not. I don't want to review everything I've said about that in the past. Certainly, it's a real possibility, and I won't say any more about that. Nothing's ever a certainty here in markets, but it would hardly be surprising, given the three-year anniversary of the rally, and now that interest rates are moving upwards in many countries, government bond markets weakening, and so on. But some of the main fears that had been in people's minds are not problems at the moment, such as energy prices. And those are definitely not a headwind at the moment. And there's still plenty of liquidity around. And someone said, well, why are you only looking for a medium-term correction? I had one email saying, what's the problem? In which I addressed in some detail, and then I had another email saying, why are you only looking for a correction? So that's spanning the bull and bear views, we could say. And I'm only looking for a medium-term correction because there's still a terrific amount of liquidity around. And I don't think central banks, at the bottom line, I don't think central banks have any intention. I don't think they would dare to create something that could remotely be called a monetary squeeze. They won't do that because core inflation rates are still low, although we know that the prices for practically everything you have to pay for go up way in excess of official figures. But that core rate that they use is still reasonably low, but far more importantly than that, because they know that's not a really accurate reflection of what's going on. But they do know that there is very, very tough, perhaps unprecedentedly tough, competition in global manufacturing. And that is what concerns them. So no monetary squeeze. First, that would tend to pump up a current, push up a currency, and they certainly don't want that. It would threaten to cut the growth that they are very anxious to have and to extend, at least in the West. The US wants more growth. The ECB, European Union, certainly wants more growth. I mean, pretty well everybody wants more growth. No economy is actually overheating. I don't even think you could describe China with its sort of 9% or so growth rate as overheating at this stage, although it's you get pockets that overheat. So that's my premise, that we're not going to get anything remotely close to a monetary squeeze, and there is a huge amount of liquidity sloshing around the system, enough liquidity to actually postpone or certainly cushion the downside if we do get that medium-term correction, which I think is a probability rather than a possibility. Okay, government bonds. A lot of people are saying buy the bonds, and those who are saying buy the bonds are also in the camp that says we are going to see a medium-term correction or worse. And you say, well, why? And then people say, well, maybe, bird flu. They're worried about bird flu or something like that. Well, if we get an epidemic, obviously you're going to get a bigger sell-off, but I'm not in the business of forecasting epidemics. It's pretty much an outside chance, although it's one that can't be written off. Okay, but to say, a number of people are saying buy the bonds because the stock market's come off, then and rates are curtailing growth. And those two go hand in hand, that then government bond prices will surge. Well, that's possible, and I have been concerned as one who is short government bonds right now, although not aggressively so. But I have One of the reasons why I don't have bigger positions is that I have felt that a medium-term correction might well lend some support. But things can, you can see something coming and then it doesn't necessarily play out in terms of the specific components the way people actually think. And looking at the charts, I always want to defer to the charts, but looking at the charts of government bond prices, they suggest to me that the risk is to the downside. Looking at the charts of government bond yields, they suggest, I'm talking about long-dated yields particularly, they suggest to me that the risk is on the upside. So it could be weakness in this sector that helps to undermine stock markets. So they are not necessarily a safe haven, or not in this stage, or perhaps not unless people really do get into a flap over the sustainability of growth. But maybe the immediate problem is people are saying there's synchronized global GDP growth. Well, there is. And then maybe that's going to be a little bit stronger than people had actually suspected. I don't know, but I'm going to take my cue from the charts in here. And it's by no means a given, technically, that one should cover one's bond shorts, let alone actually go long-dated government bonds. If that technical pattern changes, then hopefully I'll change with it. But meanwhile, I'm running with the trend there. And in currencies, again, the interest rate story, I said it would probably keep them choppy. And when I took my profit in my euro long against the US dollar late last week, I thought I'd have a good chance of buying it back at a lower level. I should have taken the profit on my Swiss franc as well. The euro is the bigger position and the bigger profit. Perhaps one reason why I didn't do it. But if we get the dollar coming back, beg your pardon, if we get the euro coming back a bit further in here, I may well go in and pick it up again. In metals, silver. I'm watching my what has been my favorite metal for trading, and the most profitable of my metal positions. Due to all that trading over the last 3 years or more, move up without me in here. But I kind of don't like the idea of going in with this ETF uncertainty. I mean, I think if a lot of people are buying in anticipation of an ETF, you could actually get the market coming off once, sort of buy the rumor, sell the news type of situation. I just don't know. It's created a certain uncertainty factor here. That is going to keep me a little bit more conservative or cautious. And in terms of the energy sector, read the Guinness Atkinson thing, the Guinness Atkinson thing, the piece by Timothy Guinness on his fund. It's a core position of mine. I don't. I forecast that it would see a quiet year this year, and that's not a euphemism for a major downturn. If it does drift down, I would certainly consider adding to that position overall. I really do like it. But one of the interesting points that I picked up in there is read his comments if you're interested in natural gas. And some of us have positions there. And he on his ratio of gas to oil, natural gas is pretty cheap. I certainly agree with that. But again, we need some sort of upward dynamic and increased volatility to get this thing going as a tradable proposition. Right now, it's cheap and nestled down in the base, but it's a little bit too quiet for my comfort. But I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to actually roll forward my April contracts, which I think expire on the 27th. So that's with my spread bet company, and I probably won't roll it ahead very far, but I will continue to, because if we do get a spike, we might see the better move in the nearby position. And I'm willing to eat some contango costs on the basis that the next big move is almost inevitably going to be on the upside. And folks, Wall Street did close with those small key day reversals. That's a short-term bearish signal. And all the best. No doubt there'll be some more excitement tomorrow.